is people are slow and picking up. And you can see that a number of people are not here. Some have traveled. Some have gone to spend the new year in their hometown. Some want to spend the new year with their families. But we will go ahead with today's service. Amen. Oh, come on. I say amen. Let me hear you. I said amen. One more time, I said amen. So welcome to the first Sunday in 2024. We are beginning the year as a people of God unleashed. And the next 3 months, I will be preparing you on a subject I have titled Anointed and Unleashed. Come on, say Anointed and Unleashed. And so I have penned down the declaration for the next 3 months, January to March. David, do you have the declaration? I want us to start with our declaration this morning. We are starting with our declaration. And look into the eye of somebody and say, you're welcome. It's 2024. You're welcome. You look good. Yeah, you look good. You look good. Oh, come on, do that. Do that. Welcome the person. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, 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 yeah. And all the men who are not married and the women who are not married this year, if you don't marry, we'll baptize you. This will be a year of a new baptism. And our mother is in the house. Mama, a fish chapeau to every one of you. Are we ready? The technical committee, if there is a problem, let's solve it. When we say you should project something, it takes all the time. Why? Yeah. I hope this is on the page. It's on the page. It's on the page. How many of you have seen this on the church's page? Oh, please do it, because we don't want anybody to say, I can't see. So do it quickly. Do it quickly. Come on, say, Anointed and Unleashed. That's the title I'll be preaching the next 6 weeks. And just as I do every year, I'll be taking you the whole of January, the whole of February, and then the first week in March, Anointed and Unleashed. And the technical committee, if you allow this message to be wasted, you are in trouble. I've told you guys to record, because that's what you do. If you better record, secretary, you better go and ask them to do what is right. All right. So, the theme for January to March for Elwalk is Unleashed with Anointing. Shall we say one go? One more time. One more time. And I say the next 3 months, I'm preaching on a subject, Anointed and Unleashed. But the theme for the next 3 months declaration is Unleashed with Anointing. By the way, anointing is one N, so you have to correct it. It's not double N, at least if my English is right, it's one N. All right, do you all have it on the page? So, Pili, you have it. All right, shall be upstanding. Shall be upstanding. Give me the tune for what we just sang. I am a sound of revival. us all. All right? Just want to be ready for it. Are you ready for it? Are you ready? Oh, you are dull this morning. Why? Have you finished eating your chicken and goat? Prof, I think it's finished. You. People are paying school fees. Eh? They are okay. People are going to pay school fees and they are sad. Don't be sad. Come alive. Come alive. It's technical. Relax. Don't worry at all. Are we ready for it? Are we ready for it? Are we ready for it? Choir, are we ready for it? The choir is real. It's alive. All right. So, unleashed with anointing. One, go. I am unleashed because with me he is pleased. Grasped by his right hand, I won't gasp for breath. I am fashioned out with unction for a function. Like a polished bullet, I am released for a target. My head is anointed and I will not be disappointed. As I take my steps in him, no blessing will sidestep me. Confirmation, the instruments are certified. Transformation, the instruments are energized. Therefore, I shall declare, stand up in righteousness. Let every path be leveled. Let the highways be cleared of every debris by his decree. Let the ancient doors open up to the cry of redemption. Let saviors be released. Let the kingdom be the Lord's. Let fresh hands be strengthened. Let competence be birthed. Let skill replace ineptitude and knowledge defeat ignorance. Lord, I cry, transformation, transformation, transformation. No, 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 don't sit yet. Don't sit yet. We are going to take it again the second time. Are you here? You know, 2 days ago, I had a vision, very interesting vision. A man walked to me and gave me several books. They were a pack. And then he told me, read, study, and I'll return. And then in the vision, I saw that it took a long time before the man returned. When the man returned, he was very old, very old. Then he said, son, come. He said, now bring the books. I want us to account for what I give you. So I went and picked the packs of the book. The pack of the books. Then I'll give him this one. He will say, yeah, wonderful. So when I've read and made comments, he said, good, good. Then he'll pick another one. Wonderful. Then there was one book. That book has 3 titles, that same book. The first one on top is written provincial. The second title on the book is written conscientiousness. Then the third title on the book is written heritage. One book. Then he said, bring the book with the 3 titles with one called heritage. I couldn't find the book. I searched through the... I've read the book. I searched. So I was getting one. The man was sitting and watching. Then I heard in my ears, now somebody stole the book. Listen to the vision. This year, nobody will steal anything for you. Somebody stole the book. And he placed it on the roof above your head. Thank God I've read the book. I just have to show the man that this is the book. Then he said, climb the staircase. So I went behind a bit and I climbed the staircase. When I got there, the book was lying there untouched. I took it smiling. Then I brought it to the man. I said, this is the book. Then he told me, what are the titles? Then I mentioned it. He said, he repeated the 3rd one. He said, look at the 3rd title. as a heritage. He said, guard it with your life. Guard it with your life. Three times. Guard it with your life. Guard it with your life. Guard it with you. Don't let anybody take it again. 2024, a heritage is for you. When I woke up, I told my wife, I said, hey! Hallelujah. I'd like us to read this again. 2024. The Lord is anointing us and unleashing us. He's empowering us for an assignment. And when I pen this down, I was going through a dawn myself, picking the word and meditating on it. And then I had a vision. Every heritage that is for you, you know, nobody will steal it. Yesterday I walked with you, I said, ah, they stole my heritage, but I found it. Then the man said, got it! Got it! Are we ready? No, are we ready? I told you, I come alive. Are we ready? All right. So one, two, go. I like that one. Prof, is it that one? Ah! Repeat. Then I'm a fault line. Let's go. Are you polished? Do you believe that you are polished 2024? Slap your hands and make some noise. Like a polished bullet, I am released for a target. Oh. Let's continue from that particular phrase. One go. Like a polished bullet, I am released for a target. My head is anointed, and I will not be disappointed. As I take my steps in him, no blessing will sidestep me. Confirmation, the instruments are certified. Transformation, the instruments are energized. Therefore, I shall declare, stirred up in righteousness, let every path be leveled. Let the highways be cleared of every debris by his decree. Let the ancient doors open up to the cry of redemption. Let saviors be released. Let the kingdoms be the Lord's. Let fresh hands be strengthened. Let competence be birthed. Let skill replace ineptitude and knowledge defeat ignorance. Oh! Come and say, let knowledge defeat ignorance. Repeat and say, let knowledge defeat ignorance. Repeat again, say, let knowledge defeat ignorance. Last and say, let knowledge defeat ignorance. I like her to begin from the number three. Let ancient doors open. These are very powerful words. Let them stay in your spirit. One go. Let ancient doors open up to the cry of redemption. Let saviors be released. Let the kingdom be the Lord's. Let fresh hands be strengthened. Let competence be birthed. Let skill replace ineptitude and knowledge defeat ignorance. Lord, I cry. Lord, I cry. For the last time, Lord, I cry. Come on, slap your hands and take your seat right now in the name of Jesus. I am a sound of revival.
The world is waiting for me to be heard.
Yeah.
I am the Bible they read now. They will read me and they will be changed.
Yeah.
wonder to my world. I am a sound of revival. The world is waiting for me to. I am the Bible they read now. They will read me and they will.
Like a polished bullet, you are released for a target. I say you are released for a target. So lift up your hands, Father. I give you the glory and honor. As we open up your word, bless our hearts. In the name of Jesus, the Son of God. Amen. So every year, whatever the Lord gives me on 31st, I use the next 6 weeks or so, 8 weeks, to open that up. Because I usually on 31st will preach. But now I want to teach. Amen? Amen? I can't hear you. Amen? Yeah. You see, I keep telling you that the word amen means let it be. So when you say amen, respond. Amen? Wonderful. So we understood, and I say I'm speaking on anointed and unleashed. First is, what is the purpose of the church? When we talk about a church, before we even come to what this anointed and unleashed thing is, I like you to appreciate that when we are talking about a church, two things. We're talking about, number one, that you as a person, an individual, you are a receptacle of God. Okay, so when we read John 15, Jesus said that if you dwell in me and I in you, he said, I and my Father will come and make an abode, will come and live in you. So you as a person, you are a receptacle of God. Not where receptacle means you are like a container. So God works in you and through you and by you. But the other thing is that the church is ecclesia. Ecclesia means that a group of people called out. God has called us out. And through us is going to manifest his agenda and his will to the world. So the world will not get to know the Lord, but through the church. The church becomes an instrument of announcing God's manifold wisdom. Now let's read Ephesians, the chapter number 1. Ephesians 1. Let me pick a scripture from there. Ephesians chapter number 1. So we're reading, Ephesians chapter 3. Let me be sure I am in that text. So Ephesians 3, we are reading from the verse number 8, and then the emphasis be on the 10. Now Paul was talking and said, although I am less than the least of all the lost people, this grace was given me to preach to the Gentiles the boundless riches of Christ, and to make plain to everyone the administration of this mystery. The administration of this mystery. All right? So let's go on. Which for ages past was kept hidden in God, who created all things. Verse 10. His intent was that now, through the church. Come on, say through the church. I can't hear. Say through the church. The manifold wisdom of God should be made known to the rulers and the authorities in the heavenly realm. So the church becomes an agent of God for an assignment not only unto the earth, but unto the powers and the forces in the realms. Come on, say the realms. According to his eternal purpose that he accomplished in Christ Jesus. And what is that purpose? That eternal purpose is that through Christ, the sinner must become a saint. Because in the realms of the spirit, anyone who sins must die. But in the eternal purpose of God, the sinner must be transferred from the arena of death onto a space of life. And that can only happen when God himself incarnates, or God himself kenosis. That kenosis means that he comes down emptying himself to become a human being. He changes state from the state of the divine, which is the state of God, to the state of man, which is anthropos. So he moved from the realm of God unto the realm of man. The realm of God, according to Ephesians, Philippians 2, he says, he was in the realm of God. And now, phrase, God is the word theos. Theos means divine. Theos means supreme. Theos means exceedingly supreme. So he was in a supreme state in the realm of God. Theos. He said he did not consider it robbery to be like God, but he put on himself a servant. And that word, Greek word servant, is doulos. Doulos means somebody who is subservient, somebody who is made low. So God made himself low. He came down and made himself low. Then he said, and the way he did these things, he was seen to be like a man. And now what man there is anthropos. So look at where he was. He was in the realm of theos, divine, supreme, all-powerful. Then he became a servant, doulos. Then he became anthropos, man. And that is why he can die. Now that particular thing that God did through Jesus is a mystery that a sinner like you and I can move from a place where we deserve to die to be in a place where we are called saints. And the Bible says Christ in us is the hope of glory. That is a mystery. And as we continue, I'll be teaching on from kenosis to lambano. I'll show you the emptying of the Christ to the place where he stepped into humanity. You know, there's a song, I've forgotten the word, but he says that from eternity, he stepped into humanity. Now, that's not easy. From timeless past, he stepped into time. God cannot be bound by time. But for once, Jesus was born. And he was under the elements of time. Now, Paul is saying in this text that there's a mystery. And the mystery is unpacking the eternal purpose of God to the Gentiles. Now, you and I are Gentiles. That the Gentiles will know the manifold wisdom of God. What is that manifold wisdom of God? That a sinner who is to die will become a saint. That somebody who is deserved to be in prison will be declared freed. That somebody who deserves to receive the wrath of God is now designed to receive the love of God. Now that is a mystery. Somebody who deserves to be kicked away now becomes a friend of God and is able to, you know, participate in the divine nature of God. That's not a small thing. He participates. You don't understand what happens to you when you open your mouth and you are speaking in tongues. You are participating in the divine nature. You are actually, you know, catching up with the realms of God. And you are participating in how divine beings operate. Can you imagine that? The revelation says that one day we shall sing a song and even angels don't understand. Angels. We will sing a song and even angels don't understand. Huh? We shall sing a song. So first is to understand the purpose of the church. Your purpose, listen carefully to me, is not just to be saved and stay in church and die and go to heaven. No. That's not the purpose of the church. Now, let's look at the text again. His intent was that now, through. Now, this phrase, his intent was that now, not tomorrow, not yesterday, but come on, say now. Through that phrase, through the church, is an instrumentation. It gives you an idea that God is using the church as an instrument. For example, if I have offended Professor Bowley and I want to go and apologize to him, then I call secretary and I say, secretary, can you go with me to Professor Bowley? Now, I'm reaching Professor Bowley through secretary. Secretary becomes like an intermediary. It becomes like an instrument to be able to reach out to the professor and say, please, whatever I did. Now, even if he doesn't want to forgive me because of the fact that somebody is with me, he will say, well, this one I wouldn't have forgiven, but because, you know, you came in the company of this guy, I can't see any. Can see that I can. Okay, it's okay. It's okay. Come on, say through. One more time, through. Now, say the last. Say through. So every member seated here is an instrument of God. I want you to appreciate that. Every member. That is what this year we are unleashing. Come on, say unleashing. Every member becomes an instrument of God. Now through the church, the manifold wisdom of God. Now that should tell you if the member is ignorant. Because we are talking about wisdom here. If the member is ignorant, he doesn't know who I am in Christ. How should I relate? How should I behave? How should I comport myself in Christ? I mean, he's all the time walking about behaving anyhow. When you ask, what are you doing? Oh, we day. There is no purpose, no agenda. He doesn't know that from here, I'm going there. From there, I'm going there. The life he's living is just any life, anyhow. He doesn't care. But he says, through the church, the manifold wisdom of God. So the church becomes an instrument, a signpost. It becomes like an advertising platform to announce to the world God's intent. Now, if you don't know God's intent, how do you announce God's intent? Lift up your right hand. Just breathe your name upon me, breathe. Just breathe your name upon me, breathe. Yahweh is your name, breathe, Lord. Just breathe your name upon me. Just breathe your name.
Just breathe your name upon me. Breathe.
Oh.
Just breathe your name upon me. Breathe.
Ah. Hey.
breathe your name.
Just breathe your name upon me. Breathe.
Just breathe your name.
Just breathe your name.
Hey.
Just breathe your name upon me, breathe.
Oh, hey, why, hey.
Your name, oh, hey, is your name, breathe, Lord.
Hey.
Just breathe your name upon me, breathe.
Just breathe your name upon me. One more time. Just breathe your name.
Just breathe your name upon me. Breathe.
Just breathe your name.
Just breathe your name upon me. Ah. Breathe.
Your name. I'm going to unpack something that is very deep. I don't know how you will understand it. But I want the breath of God to give you illumination. Don't go. Don't go yet. Don't go yet. The breath of God should give you illumination. Lift up your hand again. And as your hands are lifted, listen to this statement. The biggest disservice to the kingdom is an ignorant believer. The biggest challenge to the kingdom is unschooled church. Because God will do something on earth through the agency of the church. Keep your hand up. Recently, you keep your hand up. I'm going to show you something. Recently, my daughter was reading, Priscilla was reading something. And this statement is from E.M. Bounds. I think that was 1910. The book is Power Through Prayer. Listen carefully. Oh. Lord, help me to just put this across. I said the greatest disservice to the kingdom is an ignorant believer. And the greatest disservice to the kingdom is a church that is unschooled. How do you know the intent of God if you are already soaked in ignorance? Listen to E.M. Bounds, 1910, the book and the title of the book is Power Through Prayer. Listen carefully. Listen carefully. Men are God's method. The church is looking for better methods. God is looking for better men. The Holy Ghost does not flow through methods, but through men. He does not come on machinery, but on men. He does not anoint plans, but men. Men of prayer. Come on, put your hands together for the Lord. So God doesn't look for methods. He looks for men. Because when he gets the men, the methods will be rolled out. Men are God's method. And that is why if the church gets it wrong, the world will get it wrong. When Jesus was talking in Matthew 5, he said, ye are the salt of the earth. Ye are the light of the earth. Oh, salt and light. The first thing God created was light. According to account in Genesis. How can the earth see the light of God if the church is darkened? Lift up your hand one more time. La Shamanoski Vadas Kavala Satamarosi. La Vijala Makoyan Valies Teleme Shadaba. Oriandele Mosavali Atanamako. Just breathe your name upon me. Breathe. Just breathe your name upon me. Breathe. Your Ewa is your name. Breathe, Lord. Just breathe your name upon me, breathe. Just breathe your name.
Just breathe your name upon me, breathe.
Your name.
Just breathe your name upon me, breathe.
Your
just breathe your name upon me.
Now pray for 1 minute and tell the Lord. Tell the Lord, I am your instrument. I am your sound. Stay there with me as I open up this. Verse number 10. His intent was that now through the church, the manifold wisdom of God. Come on, say the manifold wisdom of God. Now, if you want to know the nature of that manifold wisdom, I'd like you to write these two scriptures. Romans 11:33. 1 Corinthians 2:7. The manifold wisdom of God. Now, listen to Romans 11:33. He said, oh, the depth of the riches of the wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable his judgments and his paths beyond tracing out. So that wisdom is deep. And Paul says is unsearchable. And yet is given to the church to just express that wisdom. It's an unsearchable wisdom. His judgment, his paths are beyond tracing out. These are huge things. And it says, yet through the church, the manifold wisdom of God. I'd like you to see 1 Corinthians 2:7. 1 Corinthians 2:7. He said, but we speak the wisdom of God. Come on, say, we speak the wisdom of God. No, you are sleeping. Come on, say, we speak the wisdom of God. The hidden wisdom which God ordained before the ages of our glory. It is an unsearchable wisdom, and yet we speak the wisdom of God. What does it mean? It means that God has given us enough of his wisdom within our reach. We are able to grasp enough of the wisdom of God for our own life and for reaching out to the world. So it is an unsearchable wisdom. His judgments are deep. His knowledge is beyond tracing out. And yet Paul says, we speak the wisdom. We speak the mystery. The hidden wisdom. The ordained wisdom of God. So anybody sitting here cannot say that I don't have the wisdom of God. No. But listen carefully. I'm just laying the foundation for what we're going to be doing. The wisdom, I'm telling you, the church is not a church because we come here and meet. No. The church is an instrument. The church is a bullet. The church is a polished bullet released for a target. The church is God's instrument for an assignment. And you are the church. So when you come to church, this place is only a place where you are coached. We coach you on how to organize yourself and reach out to the world. Paul says we have to reach out to the world with the manifold wisdom of God. He talks about that wisdom as a deep wisdom, a mystery, a hidden wisdom. He says it is unsearchable. He says it's beyond tracing out. And yet, Paul says, we speak it. Come on, say, I speak it. Come on, say, I speak it. What it means is that in the tongue of every believer seated here is a hidden wisdom of God. Every tongue that is seated in this house, by the mandate of this word, no ignorance is coming out of your mouth, because your tongue is ordained. Your tongue carries fire. Your tongue carries grace. Your tongue is not going to talk anything bad. Your tongue is carrying the hidden wisdom of God. So you don't talk anyhow. You don't behave anyhow. He says, but we speak. Come and say, we speak. I can't hear. Come and say, we speak. Come and say, we speak. One more time, come and say, we speak. Now listen, this year something strange will happen to you. Now what will happen to you in my vision will be that at where you work, a word will come out of your mouth. And that word will be an amazing word to your boss, because he's going to be wondering, how did you get to know this? And how did this come out of your mouth? We've been searching for this. The Bible says that the Spirit of God in Daniel dissolved hard things. Receive that wisdom of God. Lift up your hands. I said, receive that wisdom of God. Come on. I said, receive that wisdom of God. Come and say, we speak that wisdom. You don't understand. I said, receive that wisdom of God. Come on, somebody, keep your hand up. Hey! When you come to church and we minister the word, we are only empowering you as an instrument, a polished bullet released for a target. Now, you are going out there, and when something comes out of your mouth, redemption must come. When something comes out of your mouth, freedom must come. When something comes out of your mouth, deliverance must come. When something comes out of your mouth, finding a solution must come out of your mouth. Because we speak, come and say, we. It's not the pastor, it's not the apostle, it's not the deacon, it's not the deaconess, it's not the elder, it's not the presiding elder. Come and say, we. Now, who are the we? We are the we who were once sinners and now moved to become saints. And we did not become saints because God just wanted us to become saints. We became saints because God is using us as instruments unto the world. This year, I decree, may you be an answer to somebody's problem. I said, may you be an answer to somebody's problem. I can't hear. I said, may you be an answer to somebody's problem. Did I hear amen to that? Did I hear loudest amen to that? Did I hear loudest amen to that? Did I hear the last amen to that? And listen to what he says. He says his intent was that now through the church, the manifold wisdom of God, which we understand is a mystery, is deep and unsearchable, and yet we know, should be made known. Come on, say, should be made known. I can't hear. So the church is supposed to be a revelator. It's supposed to be a carrier of revelation to the world. Listen, when the unbelievers at where I work are looking for answers and they come to me, I must provide them with the answer. I'm telling you. How many of you believe that? Telling the Lord. Now, if somebody is looking for an answer to a problem and the person approaches me, I must believe God for an answer. You see, when the guys told Joseph about their dreams, what did he ask them? He said, doesn't interpretation belong to God? Then he told the Pharaoh, he said, God will give Pharaoh an answer. But prof, the question was God going to go to the Pharaoh and give Pharaoh the answer? No. God was going to give Pharaoh an answer through Joseph. There is a Joseph in this house. He said, interpretation belongs to the Lord, and God will give Pharaoh an answer. So we should see Pharaoh going to bed, because God came to Pharaoh and gave him the revelation. So when he went to bed, the insight to the revelation should be given. But no, God had prepared a church. A church member was right in front of Pharaoh. And then he said, tell me your dream. And when the Pharaoh released the dream, Joseph did not ask, let me go and organize 7-day dry fasting. I must unpack the vision. He did not say, I need 21 days fast. He didn't say, I need 40 days fast. As soon as the guy finished telling him the dreams, he started. This and that and that. What kind of wisdom is that? It is called the manifold wisdom of God. There's a mystery that God unpacked unto the young man. And I decree upon you in the name of Jesus that as we enter 2024, you are anointed as a church to bring an answer to a problem. Come on, say an answer to a problem. Now look at 1 Peter. You can take your seat now. Look at 1 Peter. 1 Peter 1:12. Look at it. He says, when you read, made known. 1 Peter 1:12 says, it was revealed to them that they were not serving themselves but you. Now Peter was talking about our forebears, Abraham, Elijah, you know, Enoch, the Old Testament saints. And he said, God revealed to them, listen carefully, that they were not serving themselves, but they were serving you and I. All right? When they spoke of the things that have now been told you by those who have preached the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven, even angels long to look into these things. Angels wanted to look into the manifold wisdom of God, and they were not allowed. I'd like you to understand this. Now, somebody say, man of God, you're confusing me. Now, listen carefully. Man does not compare in terms of makeup to angels. Angels are not made of flesh. They are not made of very... Now look at the contrast. Follow me carefully. Look at the contrast in man. Follow me carefully. When you read about Satan or Lucifer, he was made of very powerful stones. They are called precious stones. Satan is not made of the sand of the dust. No. He is called the galaxy represent Lucifer. You are not Lucifer, okay. He will be holding my lamp. When I am moving, he's holding my lamp. That was how powerful Lucifer was. He is called the anointed cherub. Angels are not made of dust. No. We are told in Genesis 1:25 to 26:27 that man is made from the dust of the earth. But there is something in man that we don't ever find anywhere that God spoke of about angels. What is that? He said, God made man in his own image. Now tell me if you have ever seen angels described as he made angels in his own image. So man is made from the dust of the ground, and yet there is a component in man that angels don't have. Man is made in the image of God. And he said, the image of God made he them. Now, some theologians believe that when God created man, some think that that's why the devil fell. Now, when God decided that let us make man, he's wondering why God was going to create a low, substandard being who is going to be in charge of a whole realm called the earth. And he, the devil, has not been given a realm. Some theologians believe that that's where Satan's error started. That God is making this substandard being. He's made of the dust. And yet there's a quality of God in him. Now, look to the second part of it. That even when God made this dust mixed with divine element, he messed up. So when he messed up, God should throw him away. When the devil messed up, God kicked him out of heaven. When Adam messed up, Genesis 3, God kicked him out of the garden. But look at the verse, last part. The Bible says that, but God began declaring to the woman, I'll put an enmity between your seed and the seed of the serpent. Whereas he will bruise your heel, he will crush your head. So right from there, God declared redemption. Angels did not understand. Why is it that when we sinned, God did not forgive us? But when this substandard being sinned and was kicked away, God was still actively engaged, redeeming himself or redeeming this guy. This guy doesn't match up to us. But God is so much concerned about this man. Now, to make it worse, that is a third thing. When God was coming on earth, he did not come in the image of angels. Because, listen, some of the angels and beings that are described, we are the four living creatures. When you read them about them in Revelation, you'll be scared. Some have four faces. The face of an ox, the face of a man, the face of an eagle, and the face of a lion. These are very strange beings. When John said, when I saw them, John couldn't. These are strange beings. So God could have chosen to come in the form of any of the four living creatures. But he did not. He did not come in the form of angels. Now, if this is not a mystery, tell me what a mystery is. Why is God so much concerned about that being who is not qualified? What is it? One, and I can imagine angels. The Bible says in 1 Peter that angels were trying to look into the plan. Maybe they smuggled themselves and went into the inner chambers of God and said, let's see, what at all about this man, Anthropos, that God is so concerned about? What do they have? Look, they die. We don't die. Look at them. They sin. We don't sin here. Look at them. We fly. They have to use vehicles and drive here and there. They fall ill. We don't fall ill. Why is God concerned about a vulnerable being and not concerned about a perfect being? Mystery. Mystery. Come on, say mystery. It's a mystery. It's a mystery. Now, before I go on, look at this. I like it. Lord, help me. Lord, help me. Lord, help me. He says, this mystery must be made known to the rulers. Come on, say rulers. Say powers. Demons, angels, they must know who the church is. That the manifold wisdom of God through the church. Now go back. Go back to Ephesians 3. I'm unpacking that text as a head text to our teachings on anointed and unleashed. Oh, come on. Ephesians, you are not following the preaching. When I mention a quotation, write it down. So when I say go, Ephesians 3:10. Are you there? Okay. His intent was that now through the church, the manifold wisdom of God should be made known to the rulers. Come on, say rulers. I can't come and say rulers. One more time, say rulers. And say authorities. So you see, the impact of the church is not only within the sphere of human beings.
No. The impact of the church is not only within the sphere of your community. You know, I'm in East Legon. I live in Ajirigano. No, that is important. And we'll be dealing with that as I move on. But the other side of the impact of the church is that the powers of darkness must realize that God is at work in your life. No. They must realize that when we talk about Larry, Larry is an instrument of God released for an assignment for God's own agenda. That is why in Job chapter 1, when the devil was walking in heaven, God asked him, why are you here? He said, I'm here. Then the Lord said, have you considered my servant Job? Please, listen carefully. God did not mention a group of church or a denomination when the devil appeared before him. He didn't say, have you considered Church of Pentecost, Assemblies of God? No, because God's methods are not instrument or machinery. God's methods is man. His method is man. So he didn't say that, have you seen my church Catholic, my church Anglican? No. He said, have you considered my church Job? My servant Job? Oh. Because as far as God is concerned, Larry, you are an instrument that must announce to the powers of hell that be that I represent the supreme God, Theos. That is why any of you seated here, by the mandate of this word, the power upon you must be felt in your family, and the demons in your family, the powers in your family must feel that you represent something. When you are coming into the family, your birth must be a shift in the family. You will not understand, but go and ask your mother and your father. When you were being born, some of you are sitting here, you were a shift in the family. You are only alive, but you were a shift. When you were being born, so many things were happening. You don't understand why his star appeared, because there must be a shift on earth. God uses a man. He doesn't just talk about men. He said, have you considered my servant Job? Some of you are seated here this morning, and you are going to be a manifold wisdom of God to the powers of hell in your family. So don't be afraid in what is happening in your family. And that day, man of God, you know, when I go to bail, they will kill me. And my family, and I'm going to be. Oh! What are you thinking about that? One day in a vision, I was praying about my bloodline. And in the vision, I saw there were several sandals. Oh, Makadish Kabala Hatoshe. Prof, sandals. Sandals are Ahenemaheshi. Some are very old. And I counted more than 7 or 8. Then there was one that is completely new. Then the man took the sandal and shifted it off the line. Then he said, that is your sandal. He said, the sandals you see are generations. You are shifted off. So you see, you are an instrument for an assignment for your family. You are a wonder. You are a reviver. You are the sound your family is waiting for. It's not the pastor your family is waiting for. It's not the apostle here. Your family is waiting for you. Listen. Write these 4 scriptures down. Ephesians 1:21. Ephesians 6:12. Colossians 2 verse 10. And Colossians 2:15. I repeat, Ephesians 1:21, Ephesians 6:12, Colossians 2:10, and Colossians 2:15. I'll end on this to begin.
Now, Paul, in this text, was talking about you, the believer. So, from Ephesians 1:21, he's talking about you, the believer. And he says that once you came to Christ, he has elevated you far above rule and authority, power and dominion, and every name that is invoked. Not only, so I like us to just, let's pick up from the verse. So Ephesians, let's go there. Ephesians 1. I like us to just get a compass right. Ephesians 1 and the verse 21. Paul was saying that since he heard about the faith of the believers, he has never ceased praying for them. He's been praying for them. In fact, he started that in the verse 15. He said, I've been praying for you since I heard about your faith. For this reason, ever since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all God's people, I have not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. I keep asking that the God of your Lord Jesus Christ, our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. So you see, that is what I was talking about. That yes, the manifold wisdom of God is deep, but we are given the spirit of wisdom and knowledge so that we can appreciate. And he says, I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you. We are called unto a hope. Then he continued. He says that the riches of the glorious inheritance which is in his holy people, and the incomparably great power. Listen carefully to that. 19. Incomparably great power for us who believe. That power, he's describing the power now, is the same as the mighty strength he exerted when he raised Christ from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realms. So he's describing where Christ is seated. Now when we go to Ephesians 2, he says, we are seated with him in those realms. So he's describing the realms. He said the realms are far above all rule, all authority, all power, all dominion, and every name that is invoked, not in the present age, but also in the one to come. So the believer is to be an instrument to all authority, all power, all dominion, all rule that is above, and all dominion and every name. So if you sit here and you say that there is a name in your family, that name is being taunting you, you are an ignorant believer. You are to show the manifold wisdom of God to all authority, all power, all name, all dominion. And then you wake up in the morning, man of God, I can't sleep. A demon is harassing me. I can't sleep. How? Why can't you stand and say, Kabali Iketos at the high? I declare by the mercies of God, I am to manifest God's power to you. Get out of this place and I sleep in peace. That is the kind of church that God is unleashing. A church that knows who they are and that knows how to manifest the power of God. Come on, clap your hands. Somebody, if you believe that, you must manifest the power of God. Believe him, you must manifest the power of God. Huh? Look at Ephesians 6:12. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities. Now, it's still mentioning them here. Against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers, against this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. So we are already set against some things. Once you become a believer, you are set against some things. Look at Colossians 2:10. And in Christ, you have been brought to fullness. Come on, say, I have been brought to fullness. I can't hear you. Last one. And he says, he is the head over every power and authority. Huh? Come on, say, he's the head. Now, pay attention to that phrase before the head. And in Christ, you have been brought to fullness. Then he says, why? Because he is the head over every power. So when somebody meets you and says that, 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, a woman met me here. He said, Daddy, at where I live, my neighbor will go for juju. And before me, she will spread it in front of my house. and then call my name. I'm watching. Maybe I'm scared. I say, when you go, I am your pastor. Step in the tent and call on the name of the Lord. If I am the man of God here, I'm telling you this on authority. Now, when you step into that, there will be an invocation. No weapon fashioned against you shall prosper. And every tongue that lift up itself against you, in judgment you shall condemn. Why? This is the heritage of the sons of God. Why should somebody make you so much afraid? Let me repeat. The greatest disservice to the kingdom is an ignorant believer. Look at how a member who, somebody who doesn't come to church, he doesn't know God. When the Bible says, in Christ, you have been brought to half cup. Is it half cup? Oh, come on, I'm ending. Is it half cup? No, you're not here. Is it half cup? In Christ, you have come to quarter cup. One third. Two thirds. 50%. 80%. You have been brought to all fullness. Why? Because he says he is the head of every authority and power. Stamp your feet and clap your hands. I'm telling you, Prof, the biggest mistake you will make is to send somebody who doesn't know his left from his right to deliver a message for you. Everyone said here, think about it. That's the biggest mistake you make. When the person represents you and he doesn't know who he is, and he say, go and tell the president that, say, hey, yeah, I can't go. That is why God got angry at Moses in Exodus 3. He said, go to Pharaoh. He said, I can't talk. Then God gave him everything. Then Moses was there, said, I will slap you. I'll muzzle you. Moses, I'll muzzle you. Then he was angry. He said, God, I'm sorry. He said, God, I'm going to go. I am who I am. I am Yahweh. Hey, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. Moses, do you know who is talking to you? I am who I am. I said, get up. Go to that Pharaoh. Tell him, thou sayest the Lord, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of who? Jacob. That let my people go. He said, how about if I go? He said, Moses. Oh. I'm sending my boy to go and buy something. He said, daddy, I don't have the money. He said, nonsense, I am sending you. So ask me, daddy, give me the money. What is your fear? The greatest disservice to the kingdom is an ignorant believer. Jesus came back and saw Matthew 14. He was in the boat with them and the storms came. And then he was sleeping. Then Matthew 14, they were rather in the boat and then he was walking. The storm came and the storm was beating up. Jesus said, peace, it's me. Peter said, if it's you, then beckon me to me. He said, come. Come! Then he stepped out. And the guy was walking on the waters. Then the Bible said, but when he saw, your problem is that you are seeing too much. You are seeing too much. You are seeing too much. God wants you to let the devils know that you represent God. And so don't be afraid. You represent God. Listen, this year, the Lord has anointed you for an assignment. I said, like a polished bullet, you are set for a target. I'd like you to turn to your friend and your sister by your side and say, like a polished bullet, you are set for a target. Oh, come on, say it. Say it again. Say it again. Say it again. Say it again. Nagari analamano shani ekebene totata lalai. When I speak in tongues, the devil doesn't understand my words. He doesn't understand what I'm saying. Because the Bible says that he that speaketh in a known language does not speak unto men. The devil doesn't understand. So me, I love speaking in tongues because I want to confuse the devil. Sometimes when I don't know what to tell God, I speak in tongues. I don't want the devil to do anything. I'm not speaking my own language. Because you see, the Bible said I will sing a song in heaven and even angels don't understand. Don't forget, Satan was once an angel. He can't understand. Speak it. Don't put it in your pocket. Speak it. And let the devils know that you represent God in Christ. You are brought to fullness. Why? Because Christ is the head of all authority and power. And so you are brought to fullness, not to half, not to quarter, not to one third. You are brought to fullness. Magaliana mashanda makoski yamba. Yonyamia kasa obeye no. Yedena ra obeye. Yonyamia kasa obeye no. Yedena ra obeyo. Unipentu misi wokwa. Osefu tu misi anokwa. You know me, I can obey you. No, I'm telling you that the greatest disservice to the kingdom is an ignorant believer. Died. That is why sometimes when somebody makes maybe one mistake and then we are rubbishing the person, just nabraba say, hey, you think that one mistake from the person can destroy this blood? Huh? Look, Eloi, Eloi. Lamarck said, but Jesus felt abandoned on the cross. That through the church, you, the manifold wisdom of God, will be made known unto powers and principalities. Now, finally, as you stand, listen to what God did through Jesus to the powers and principalities. Someone will say, the man of God, but these powers and principalities, I'm going to have you. Maybe your homie stop on power. Listen to what Christ did to them. Let me repeat. The greatest disservice to the kingdom is to have an ignorant believer. Listen. Colossians 2:15. Listen carefully to what Jesus did. and having disarmed the powers and the authorities, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them by the cross.